You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and today's show comes to you on Wednesday, August 25th, after the first day of Giants-Patriots joint practices in Foxborough, Massachusetts. It was a sweltering hot day in Foxborough as the Giants and the Patriots practiced for more than 2 hours. In a practice that saw a lot of 11-on-11 and 7-on-7 work, really good work for both teams. The big news of the day was, of course, that Giants cornerback Adoree Jackson signed to a 3-year, $39 million contract during the offseason to occupy the corner opposite James Bradbury for the Giants. Left practice with a left ankle injury. Severity of that injury is unknown. I know further tests are going to be performed. The reports that I've seen and heard indicate that the Giants think that Jackson will be back for the season opener against the Denver Broncos on September 12th, almost 3 weeks away. But we don't know how these things go. You know, injuries are weird, and I mean, when Kenny Golladay got hurt at the beginning of August, they told us that that it wouldn't be long, that it was a mild hamstring strain and that he'd be back soon, and here we are near the end of August, and Golladay hasn't practiced yet, so it's a concerning injury for the Giants, who signed Jackson for a reason. They signed him because the cornerback situation opposite James Bradbury wasn't good last year. The Giants went through Corey Ballantyne. They went through Isaac Yiadom. They used Julian Love. They also used Ryan Lewis at points last year. And none of those guys really proved 100% satisfactory as starting cornerbacks opposite Bradbury. Giants played far more zone a year ago because of that than they wanted to, and Jackson's presence is expected to allow them to play a lot more man-to-man, to be a lot more aggressive in the secondary. So hopefully he will be back sooner rather than later. Hopefully that injury is not incredibly serious. So, but we will have to see. That injury did point out something that we've been looking at with the Giants, and that is that, in truth, the cornerback depth really isn't there for the Giants right now. Beyond Bradbury, Jackson, and starting slot cornerback Darnay Holmes, you really don't have a whole heck of a lot at the moment. You've got sixth-round pick Rodarius Williams, who's had a good training camp, a good preseason, looks like a guy who could be a player at, you know, for the Giants, but you don't want to put a heavy starting load on his plate right away, week one of his rookie season. He is a sixth-round pick. He does have a lot to learn. He competes. He tackles. He plays hard. He can play outside. He can play the slot. He's shown a little bit of versatility to play safety, but he's also given up his fair share of completions throughout camp and the preseason. Still has a lot to learn. Still has a lot to adjust to. as an NFL player, and putting him out there for a heavy load of snaps during a regular season game is probably not a recipe for success. Beyond that, the Giants traded a week ago for two corners, Josh Jackson from the Green Bay Packers in a trade for Isaac Yiadom, and Keon Crossan from the Houston Texans. We still really don't know a whole lot about those two players. We didn't see them in the Cleveland Browns preseason game. Really haven't seen them on the practice field, at least as part of the defense to this point. So not really sure if the Giants expect those guys to be able to help. Rookie cornerback Aaron Robinson remains on the PUP list, hasn't practiced. Beyond them, you have Madre Harper and Sam Beal, and neither of those guys has really been impressive throughout training camp. Neither of those are guys who are really expected to make the 53-man roster in a week. So unfortunately, the Jackson injury has pointed out that the Giants really, really need cornerback help. With that in mind, Nick Filato of Big Blue View took a look on Wednesday at some cornerbacks that the Giants could look at to supplement the position. So please check out Big Blue View. Check out Nick's story on those corners as we look at the Giants and as we look at the way that they try to shape their 53-man roster here in another week. All right, the other thing that the Jackson injury pointed out is that when you look at the Giants, you have Adoree Jackson, you have Kenny Golladay, you have Kadarius Toney, you have Saquon Barkley sidelined, although Barkley is expected to practice on Thursday wearing a red jersey, but we still don't know if Barkley will be ready for week one against the Broncos. You can also throw John Ross into that mix. You can throw a couple of the rookies, Aaron Robinson, who we mentioned already, Ellerson Smith, in addition to Kadarius Toney. And what you have here, Kyle Rudolph, who is just coming back, you know, from his foot injury and who practiced for the first time on Wednesday, did some individual drills, wouldn't commit to being ready for week one against the Broncos. What you have here with the Giants is a situation where all of the players who were added to this roster to upgrade the passing attack, to upgrade the offense for the most part, to upgrade the pass rush, all of these players are currently unavailable. Thus, when you look at practice on Wednesday, it shouldn't be any surprise that the Giants struggled really to complete passes in anything other than a short area of the field. They did okay in the red zone, but they couldn't push the ball down the field. They were also in a practice where Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard seemed to be having their snaps monitored, so they weren't taking a full load of snaps. But it's concerning, less than 3 weeks away from the season opener, that basically all of the players that the Giants counted on to really and truly upgrade this roster are currently unavailable. So Daniel Jones and company on the offensive side are still working with the same personnel for the most part that finished 31st in the league in offense a year ago. So we shouldn't expect miracles when we watch these practices. It is what it is. The Giants don't have their full complement of playmakers available right now. We have to cross our fingers and hope that those guys will be available for week one, that they'll be available early in the season, that they'll get enough practice time in, that the offense isn't helter-skelter and a mess when the season starts. But right now, things are a little bit concerning with the Giants because so many of the key players they brought in hoping to upgrade this roster for 2021 are currently unavailable. All right, Giants fans, what I want to do right now is take a short break for a word from our sponsors here at SB Nation. When we come back, I will be talking to Ryan Spagnoli of SB Nation's Pat's Pulpit, who was also at the joint practice on Wednesday, and we'll chat with Ryan and we'll get the New England perspective on what we saw on Wednesday morning.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Giants fans, we are joined now by Ryan Spagnoli of SB Nation's Pat's Pulpit, the New England Patriots blog on our terrific network to talk about the joint practices today and get the Patriots perspective on what we saw out on the practice field today. Ryan, thank you very, very much for hopping on.
Thank you for having me, Ed. It's always a pleasure. Always good to connect with other, websites from SB Nation. It's obviously a great community. And, you know, it's all in good fun. So had a lot of fun there today. I thought, it was a scorcher, though. Definitely wasn't football weather that, our two teams are used to, but it was obviously a good opportunity to get out there and compete against other teams.
Yeah, this is probably information that our listeners don't need, but it was so hot. I mean, the sweat was just dripping off of me, and I came back to the hotel room here and grabbed a shower because it was uncomfortable.
Oh, it was. It really was. I thought it was a good day from a Patriots perspective. Obviously, it was a big opportunity for Mac Jones, obviously first round pick by the Patriots this year. It's been, said multiple times now that Cam has been their starter. Although I think kind of those guys have been neck and neck throughout training camp, maybe Jones having the edge by a slight manner. And then obviously him missing this week due to, kind of a quote unquote misunderstanding of COVID protocols that the team released a statement on. It was a big opportunity for Jones. Hasn't got much look with the number one offense, hasn't got much look versus the number one defense. And I thought he was really good. I had him 33 of 39. 21 of 25 and 11 on 11 work. You were obviously there too. I'm curious to hear your thoughts kind of on him and how he looked. He was drafted just over 100 days ago, obviously. I thought he commanded the offense pretty well for a first-year rookie.
I have one question for you, Ryan. Did you guys find out what Jones had for breakfast today?
Whatever it is, I got to start having it.
You and me both, because he was really, really good today. I was a couple of the Giants guys that were sitting with me about three quarters of the way through practice. One of the guys turned to me and said, has he thrown a ball that's hit the ground yet? And, it was impressive because he did. He went about three quarters of the way through practice, I think, before he threw an incompletion.
Yeah, it was super impressive. I thought, like I said, big opportunity for him. But really the biggest thing, and obviously being able to having a chance to watch him kind of throughout training camp, you could kind of get a sense that he felt and he knew that this was a big opportunity for him to kind of stand out and really show the coaching staff that he is worthy of starting for this team week one. Very vocal, very animated out there. You know, a lot of high fives, a lot of jawing at his teammates and kind of, you know, being that leader in the huddle. And I think that's the biggest thing for this team. If he really wants to grab the reins and take over as quarterback, that's something Cam Newton does very well. Obviously didn't have a great year last year throwing the football. But I think one thing that Cam does very well is he's an alpha male in that room. He demands respect. He's a leader in that huddle and in that locker room. And I think slowly but surely, Max getting the confidence and being able to kind of gain that trust and respect of his teammate.
Nice. So let's, we talked about Mac Jones. Let's talk about the other Jones a little bit. And let me start, you know, this way. If you were a boxing judge and you're kind of scoring this as a fight, I mean, would you score Wednesday, you know, overall in favor of the Patriots or in favor of the Giants?
Yeah, and this is bias aside, right? Obviously, I cover the Patriots, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts too. I thought the Patriots had the better day. I think offensively, like I said, Mac Jones was 33 of 39. I don't think there was much that Giants defense did to stop him. Obviously, they were the 11th ranked defense last year. They had a very good defense and obviously improved throughout the offseason. I'm sure you can speak on that more. I didn't really think they had a number for him. I thought the Patriots operated efficiently. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, I was mainly kind of focused on Mac just because that was obviously the big talking point today and kind of how he would do. But I thought defensively for spurts, especially the secondary, I thought J.C. Jackson, Kyle Duggar, and Adrian Phillips stood out, made things difficult at times for Daniel Jones. But you never really know at this time, you know, these practices, right? Jones is obviously entering his third year. You know, it might be a thing where the coaching staff on the Giants side are, hey, force yourself to have a 40% completion day today. Let's drive the ball. Let's take some risks. Let's take some chances today. You know, maybe, you know, that has something to do with it. But I thought as a whole, especially the reports, I was not down in Philadelphia last week. The Patriots did not have a good 2 days down there. They kind of got their butts kicked back-to-back days. And then obviously, put a beating on them in the final preseason game there. But I thought overall today the Patriots had a better day. I think one of their best days of camp overall.
Yeah, I would have scored today in favor of the Patriots, to be honest with you. From the Giants defensive side, Mac Jones was really, really good today. I thought one of the things that got exposed a little bit for the Giants and was made even worse by Adoree Jackson getting hurt at the end of practice. I'm a little bit concerned about their depth at corner just because, you know, you get beyond James Bradberry and Adoree Jackson and the starting guys. And that's generally a really good secondary. I'm just worried about the depth. On the other side, the couple of positives that I thought for the Giants, I thought they had really good red zone work offensively at the beginning of practice. And again, at the end of practice, I thought they did really, really well in the red zone. I thought in the middle of practice, as you said, I thought that the Patriots defense had the better of it. I ended up having Daniel Jones, I think as a group, Giants media kind of totaled up, you know, what Jones did and I think we came up with 24 of 37 with one interception. The thing that bothered me, you know, or the thing that I noticed today was the Giants weren't really able to get the ball down the field very much. But I thought there was some good red zone work in there. But I'm with you. I would overall score Wednesday in favor of the Patriots. Just in general, you know, as you said, you were more focused on your guys, but I'm curious, you know, for your thought on Daniel Jones and maybe on that Giants offense, just from what you saw today.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the better Jones of the day was obviously Mac. I think we can both agree on that. I was a big Daniel Jones guy coming out. I thought, when he went sixth, I was shocked. I thought that was a guy that maybe would be able to fall in the Patriots' laps. They did a lot of pre-draft look on him back in 2018 or 2019, sorry, whenever he was drafted. But I thought, you know, overall, a decent day for him. I think that Patriots front seven is going to give a lot of quarterbacks a lot of problems, right? With Matthew Judon, Chase Winovich, Kyle Van Noy, Dante Hightower, Josh Uche, who wasn't out there today. They have a lot of depth up there. They're going to be able to get to the quarterback. Then obviously Lawrence Guy, Christian Barmore in the middle. So that's really going to be the strength of their defense, which is a little bit not what we're used to. And in the past, it was that secondary, right? Stephon Gilmore, J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones, all top five corners at their given spot. Obviously, the Patriots don't have Gilmore right now. He's sitting out, kind of a contract holdout, rehab type of thing from that quad injury. So that secondary was tested today, and I thought they answered the bell pretty well. But I think from a Patriots perspective and on Jones, they made it difficult for him simply because of that pass rush. I think they're going to do that to a lot of quarterbacks this year.
It's kind of interesting that that's your perspective on that, because my perspective as looking at it as a guy who's heard for months and months now about the weakness of the Giants offensive line and the concern that everybody has about the Giants offensive line. You know, my perspective today and the Giants writers that were sitting with me, were looking at it and going, the problem today isn't the pass rush. It's not, or the pass protection, because we thought Jones had pretty decent protection. There were a couple of times out of, you know, we had him for 37 throws and out of 37 throws, I think, you know, 25, 26 of those came in 11 on 11, something like that. You know, a couple of those times protection's going to break down and you're going to have to move. I think that's pretty much a given. That's normal. But by and large, I think we thought that when, other than times when Sterling Shepard was actually, you know, in the game, in the workout today, and the Giants kind of limited his reps, other than times he was out there, I thought Giants wide receivers had a hard time getting open. I thought that was a bigger problem than pass protection.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, even without Stephon Gilmore, I think that's a pretty good secondary, right? J.C. Jackson could be a cornerback one on about 75 to 80% of the teams. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. They obviously have a big decision to make with Gilmore up next year and kind of holding out now. And then Jackson set to hit the market. That's a guy who's younger and just continues to get better. And then, you know, their safeties, Kyle Duggar's a second-year guy. I think they're, you know, that's still the strength of their team. I think if the Patriots are going to be successful this year, they'll have to win mainly on defense. Because I think if Cam plays, I don't think they'll have the offense enough to put up enough points. And if Mac too, it'll obviously be a little bit of a conservative approach. So I'd be interested to see how both teams respond tomorrow. Right. I think, like you said, the Patriots probably had the better day. Jones had a heavy workload the last 2 days. He threw Mac, that is, north of 80 passes with Cam out. He took every single competitive rep. Cam is expected back tomorrow. So that should give the Giants a little bit of a look at two different styles of quarterbacks. And then how does that, you know, Giants offense kind of respond, and can the defense kind of build off of, I thought, an overall pretty decent day.
Yeah. So, you know, so we'll look forward to tomorrow. I know you're not going to be out there tomorrow. I know I will be. One of your cohorts is going to be out there. Who's going to be out there from Pat's Pulpit?
Brian Hines will be there. He should be in that little medical tent. Not medical tent, that media tent.
That
zero shade. So if you want to get there early, Ed, it's probably your best bet to kind of get a seat in the back. You get some nice shade. It was hot today.
Yeah, I was actually sitting in there for a good part of the practice. And unfortunately, I mean, there's shade, but it's also like a hot box in there.
There was no breeze, right? Like it was, yeah. I mean, those are, you know, you want to talk about the dog days of training camp, right? Last week, really, with highly competitive action while you're kind of gearing up for week one. That was a test today for all those guys. I thought, and it was a longer practice too. I mean, typically the Patriots wrap up around quarter 12. They'll start around 9:45. It's about 2 hour, 2.5, maybe. They didn't get off the field today till like 12:30, just after. So, long practice for both these teams, a lot of live competitive reps that I thought had some high intensity.
Yeah. And of course, Joe Judge took the opportunity to make the Giants run the hill at the end of practice too. I'm sure you guys chuckled about that.
Yeah, that's straight from Belichick. They head down there every single day in training camp. And so Joe is probably very familiar with that. And he saw that opportunity. And I think Daniel Jones spoke about it after, right? He said, he had never, the Giants don't have anything like that. So that was a cool experience for him. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, Ryan, thank you very, very much for hopping on. We'll be back out at the facility tomorrow, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to Brian maybe about what his impressions are of Thursday's workout.
Of course, Ed, thanks so much for having me. Maybe we'll meet in the Super Bowl and we can do this again. That'd be cool for both of us. But if not, like I said, love talking football with everybody else from SB Nation. It's a great community, and I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
All right, Giants fans, that was Ryan Spagnoli of SB Nation's Patriots website, Pat's Pulpit, with his perspective on Wednesday's joint practices between the Giants and the Patriots. That's pretty much our show today, but Giants fans, before I sign off, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the op-ed that former Giants coach Tom Coughlin wrote in the New York Times a couple of days ago, detailing the struggle that his wife Judy is undergoing these days and what that is doing to Coughlin and his family. Nothing, you know, many of us have been through similar things. All we can do at this point is send our thoughts and prayers to Coughlin, to his family. Keep them, you know, in mind. Keep them in our wishes. You know, Coughlin was a wonderful, wonderful man for the Giants. His wife Judy was a huge presence around the team, and we wish them nothing but the best. We know that this is a very, very difficult time for Coughlin and his family. So thoughts and prayers to Tom Coughlin and to his wife Judy and to all of their family. All right, Giants fans, just a reminder that Thursday the Giants will be back in Foxborough for another joint practice with the Patriots. Yours truly will be there again. So please check out all of the coverage at Big Blue View as we keep you up to date with everything that's going on in the practices between the Giants and the Patriots. All right, thank you very, very much for listening. Please remember, as always, stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.